Welcome in, everybody, to the Phantom Football Podcast after another fantastic week of NFL football. Hope everyone is doing well. I'm joined once again by Simon Short and Ronan Summers. Ronan, to start with you, how are you feeling this week? How was football?
Good. It was another great week of NFL football. There were a couple of games that went down to the wire. A pair that come to mind, Kansas City and the Chargers, and you know, that Atlanta-Chicago game. I don't know if you guys caught that one, but that was a good one as well. But it was a good week of football.
I like games that are interesting, even if not necessarily both teams have huge records. So the Bears-Falcons, I was totally fine with that game. Fun game. Both teams are still into it. Maybe they don't make the playoffs, but they're still playing. So I enjoy those kinds of games. Simon, over to you. How are you doing tonight? Ready for Thanksgiving?
I'm doing pretty good tonight. Kind of a weird up and down week. Left some of my fantasy teams in shambles, but you know what? Other than that, football is great. Already looking forward to the Thanksgiving Day games. It's always good when you can have a full day of football. So already looking forward to next week.
We're gonna have a lot. Three games on Thanksgiving Day. There will be more games on Sunday. Another game on Monday night. Should be a little bit more spread out. Get to watch more football than we usually get to watch. So nothing wrong with that. All right, let's start off with some news. Robert Saleh, Jets coach. The Jets have a winning record. They are still working on a playoff spot right now, but they are not committing to Zach Wilson necessarily to play Sunday. You've got Joe Flacco waiting in the wings. Simon, let's start it off with you. What's your feeling on what may happen Sunday?
Yeah, man, this is a good call by them. 9-22 for 77 yards, took 4 sacks. That was Zach Wilson on Sunday against the Patriots, put up 3 points of total offense. I think we're ready to call it on the Zach Wilson experiment. So the Jets can only do themselves a favor kind of by moving on and getting ready. I don't know what their whole roster situation is. I don't know if Mike White is also technically on the 53, if he's somewhere, what he's up to. But I mean, this team, the offense looked pretty good with Joe Flacco, and we know this is a good defense. So yeah, let's go ahead and start getting this thing ready for, you know, Aaron Rodgers or Derek Carr to get traded here in the offseason. But yeah, go ahead.
I don't mean to kick a guy while he's down, but let's dial it back to the draft a year and a half or so ago-ish, something like that, when Zach Wilson, he was the hot commodity. He was the next Patrick Mahomes. He was cool. He was trendy. He was hip. He could throw from 37 different arm angles. He was the next happening thing. And then all of a sudden, you fast forward. You know, it shows in this league, we all try our best to be right on stuff, right? We all try, but we don't know until it plays out. We see that every week with fantasy football. We see it with the betting side of things. We see it just as a fan watching stuff. We don't know until it actually rolls the ball out there and you see what a guy's got. And so far, you know, I wish Zach Wilson the best. Maybe it's with the Jets. Maybe it's somewhere else. But most of the people talking about Zach Wilson during that draft process were just all in on him. You know, he can throw the ball 60 yards downfield. There was nothing this guy couldn't do. He just hadn't had a chance to do it all yet at BYU. And now you fast forward and we've got this. And then we have other quarterbacks that are doing a whole lot better than we expect. Guys drafted in the second, third round. So you never know until you get there. Let's throw out another hot name. Ronan, I'm going to come to you here. Odell Beckham Jr. Helped you guys win a Super Bowl last year, helped you guys get to a Super Bowl last year, and then y'all had to finish without him. He's up for maybe some other team this year. Talk to us about where he might be and when we might see him on a football field.
Yeah, so OBJ, you know, he tore his ACL in the Super Bowl last year, like you kind of mentioned, and it's looking like it's about to be 100% in the coming weeks. You know, maybe it's looking like a three-week window. And it looks like he's going back to the NFC East. Right now, the two hot teams around OBJ are the Cowboys and the Giants. You know, a homecoming in New York would go a long way. And we're about to get to the injuries, but Wandale Robinson just went down. The Giants have been needing a wide receiver anyway all season long. That would be huge. They're a winning team, big market. That seems like a nice spot for OBJ. But then Dallas as well, you know. That offense hasn't necessarily looked the same since getting rid of Amari Cooper. You know, they kind of need that number two option. And OBJ would be a very nice number two option for the Dallas Cowboys. Those are the two options for OBJ. There are more than two, but those are the two hot names.
no matter where he lands, it's going to be a fun add to the season. We've got several guys coming back from stuff, coming back from injuries over the next few weeks. It's going to be fun to watch them come back and the impact they have. Let's talk about some injuries. You mentioned them. Let's start with some concussion protocol, which basically these days is standard, you know, standard for every week this time of year now for the NFL. Christian Darrisaw, the Vikings left tackle, he was in concussion protocol last week. He's back in it again this week. Probably not going to play Thursday night off a short week. He played for a little bit against the Cowboys in the first half. Did not look at like his normal self at all. You could tell that he was still suffering. Watching the performance, maybe he shouldn't have been out there at all. But again, it's tough to tell until you put a guy out there. Matthew Stafford, quarterback for the Rams, he's out for concussion protocol. Ronan, I'll bounce to you with that in a minute. And then the Bengals running back, Joe Mixon, concussion protocol as well. But Ronan, I want to kick it to you for Matthew Stafford. Pretty serious stuff going on here, not so much in terms of long-term health, but in terms of what they may do this season.
You know, it's pretty relevant for both. Stafford, he missed the Week 10 matchup against the Cardinals with the concussion. And then this week, in Week 11 against the Saints, he suffered what looks to be another concussion. He's in concussion protocol. That's not great, especially for a 35-ish year old. I don't know the exact age of him, but you know, mid-30s, older quarterback, two concussions in a season. There's been light rumors. There are rumors that he could potentially hang him up after this season. You know, with how many concussions, you know, two concussions in a year is not good in terms of long-term mental health or just health in general. But as far as the football side of things, Bryce Perkins might get the start next week, which if you paid attention in the preseason, he tore it up. So that might be fun to see if McVay can workshop some sort of mobile quarterback offense. You know, maybe he can add that to the repertoire and keep things fresh, but losing Stafford is going to be tough, obviously.
Simon, I'm going to come to you for a different injury, one that Ronan alluded to just a while ago. The Giants lose wide receiver Wandell Robinson, and the Giants actually have several guys banged up coming off of Sunday's game. But in particular, we know Wandell Robinson won't be available probably this week because of the knee. Start us talking about that.
Yeah, Wandell is going to be out for the year, torn ACL. He was the one wide receiver that really had some juice and some real kind of high ceiling capability in this offense. So it's going to be really tough for the Giants to be missing that the rest of the way. If you just go and look at their high reception players from this season, you've got Saquon coming out of the backfield, 31 catches. Darius Slayton has 24. Richie James and Wandell Robinson are right there at 23 apiece after that. Richie James has kind of been inconsistent, hot, cold, depending on who all has been available. Darius Slayton's kind of been a consistent, good route runner, but doesn't really take the top off. Wandale was the guy that had a little bit of electricity, which this offense really needed in the passing game. So it's not a moment too soon if Odell Beckham decides to return, because they could really use some of that, that just big play capability. Because we saw in that Lions game, if you can stop their running attack, then it's a pretty meager offense. So that Wandale is going to be a tough loss for the Giants for sure.
Simon, the Bears, basically their only weapon on offense is Justin Fields. He most weeks leads them in passing and rushing. He doesn't have a whole lot of help out there. I don't want to say he has no help, but he doesn't have a whole lot of help out there. He banged his shoulder not once but twice at the end of the game on Sunday. Talk to us about – we already know what the damage will be to the Bears without Fields, but talk to us about what Fields may look like this week or in the coming weeks.
Yeah, the thing I want to see if and when Fields gets back onto the field, because I actually saw Matt Eberflus today said he's not ruling out it being kind of the end of Fields' season, depending on the extent of this injury. What I want to see is how much they continue to let him run. 46 carries in just the last three games for Justin Fields. Obviously, it's been electric. It's been a lot of fun. It's the reason why we see him now as a viable, you know, at least the next couple of years. As the starter for the Bears, they can build around him a little bit. He can develop that passing game a little bit more. But in a year where you have three wins right now after week, you know, 10, week 11, Do you really want to let him just kind of keep running around for you know, you to lose games to teams like the Lions and the Falcons? I don't think so. So, well, if he gets back onto the field, whenever he does, first off, go ahead, take a week or two off. You know, you're playing the Jets. We don't need Quinn Williams to land on top of him, right? Get a couple sacks on him. Green Bay, week 13. That could be light work. That might be a good one. But keep him in the pocket. You know, let him roll out for passing attack. Let him develop that part of his game. Challenge him to stop taking hits, just so he can do that. Obviously, he's going to be at his best when he's running, but you know, we know he can do that. So go ahead and put that on the back burner for next year. Let him stay healthy. Let him work on the passing game while this team is still trying to figure itself out.
Simon, you're a Steelers fan. I just need to know what Green Bay did to you and what their fans did to you, man. That was brutal. Light
Oh,
work.
listen. We don't need to talk about it. We don't need to talk about it. But the Steeler fandom in me is partly saying sit Justin Fields for a couple weeks and let that second round pick get a little closer to 30 than 40. That would also be fine by me.
Oh, there it is. There you go. Okay. Simon, stay with you here. Falcons tight end Kyle Pitts on the IR out for the season, MCL. He's been kind of in and out the past 2 seasons. Never yet has been fully, completely healthy. I'm not even sure we've seen his 100% best yet, but still a very effective weapon. We know they'll miss him. Talk about maybe what do the Falcons do here? He's been in and out, but they have a lot of other little weapons. So does this change their game plan very much for the last bit of the season? Do we see Desmond Ridder at some point? They won the game yesterday against the Bears.
I think this actually just doesn't really change anything except for the fact that Arthur Smith isn't going to have to answer questions about Kyle Pitts in post-game press conferences and questions about fantasy football and things like that. I'm not saying he's happy about this, but he will be relieved to not have to answer questions about why they don't pass the ball. And now he can even just say, Marcus, those 5 targets a game that you were sending to Kyle Pitts, those are all run plays now. Don't look at anybody else. We're gonna run the ball some more. So, and for fantasy managers like myself, we could just cut ties, man. All right, it's over. We don't have to keep putting them in the lineup. We don't have to keep them on a roster spot. Let this man just go and get healthy, and you know, we'll see if Desmond Ridder next year is more of a passing quarterback for this franchise.
Lots of teams making a lot of decisions right now. Let's get to a couple of the games. 49ers and the Cardinals. Ronan, hate to keep ignoring you for a minute, but we'll get to you here on this game in a second. Simon, starting off with you. The 49ers and the Cardinals. This game is not over, but Monday Night Football, the 49ers are wiping out the Cardinals. Last I looked, you can give us an update and talk about the game a little bit.
Yep, so it actually did just end. 38-10 was the final score. I texted you guys at the end of the third quarter when, let's see, what was the score? I'm going to try to do math here. 28-31-10. All we missed was one touchdown there at the end of the game. Jimmy Garoppolo to George Kittle for their second touchdown connection of the evening. The 49ers were just kind of humming on all cylinders. It started with the offensive line. Reverses, screenplays, the run game. They ran a really nice little reverse where they pulled the left guard over to the right side, and then the tight end looped around behind him on a reverse to the left for Deebo Samuel for that touchdown. And that was a team, you know, I'll take you guys back a couple weeks ago, or probably more than a couple weeks at this point. Week 4 or 5, maybe, when the 49ers and Rams were both going through some early offensive line injuries, and we were seeing how it affected their offense. Trent Williams was out at that point. Mike McGlinchey was even in and out. And then, obviously, that's 4 or 5 injuries ago for the Rams offensive line. And we said, who's going to bounce back from this better? And we did have more faith in San Francisco at that point, and that's held true. Through the third quarter, they had already had over 300 yards of total offense. And it was like over, it was like 130 on the run, on the ground, 190 through the air. They finished with 387, 159 rushing. So, I mean, they were just getting everything they wanted, which was, you know, scary and fun to see. It looks like everything's coming together the way we anticipated. Now, the Cardinals defense is not very good, so we'll see as the competition gets a little tougher, but 49ers seem to be on track so far.
Ronan, the 49ers are doing what Vegas expected them to do. Vegas loves the 49ers. Most people do. How much do you like the 49ers, say, compared to the Vikings? I know that's a bit of a joke after that Cowboys performance yesterday, but compared to the Vikings, the Cowboys, and anybody else you want to bring up on the NFC side. And then is their Arizona season done? I mean, what do you think there?
I'll go ahead and start with the second question with Arizona. You know, they've got Colt McCoy in the past 2 weeks. The offense, it didn't look great, but it didn't look terrible. I mean, it was basically all DeAndre Hopkins tonight. I would say that the Cardinals season is over. I don't want to say season. Yeah, their playoff hopes are over. I don't see them making it to the playoffs. There are just so many holes and so many question marks all around the team that it's go ahead and chalk it, I guess. Now, the Chargers, geez. 49ers. God, sorry about that. 49ers. I think, aside from the Eagles, they're probably the best in the NFC. I've got them right there at 2 in my current mental power rankings in the NFC. But just the way that they can generate offense and defensive production. I mean, going into the season, we're talking about their defense. D'Amico Ryan's defense. And then they traded for CMC. And it's like everybody forgot that they have the best defense in the league. All we hear about is the 49ers have weapons. They have weapons all over the place. People, they have the best, one of the best defenses in the league. So 49ers, I see them going on a very nice run at the end of this season.
Ronan, I'm going to stay with you here for a second. I did not prep you guys for this question, so I'm going to hit you up both of it. And I'm going to drop one of the questions from later instead. Let's do a quick four-team power ranking on the NFC side because this isn't easy, right? We all look at a team and we say, yeah, they're poised to make a run, and then we actually start doing matchups and calculations, and there's a ranking somewhere. So give me your four right now in the NFC side from one through four. Who would they be? And then Simon, will kick it to you.
So at one, I'm going to stick with the Eagles. Two, I'm going to go 49ers. Three, I'm going to go Cowboys. And four, I'm going to go Vikings.
Yeah, and so that's fascinating. Simon, I'm going to get your four. I don't think it's going to be hugely different, but it's probably not identical. Simon, what's yours there?
I think I'm going to end up going the same way. Now, I will say this. If Odell Beckham Jr. ends up on the Cowboys, I think that is going to be very, very interesting because obviously we just saw what they did to the Vikings. Everything was going on all cylinders there. And if I have two top five defenses and I've got two top 10, you know, kind of weapons, two above average offensive lines, and I have to choose between Jimmy Garoppolo and Dak Prescott, I'm probably leaning Dak Prescott, but even as I say that, I'm like, you know what? Jimmy G in the playoffs, he's performed, and this is the best team he's maybe had around him when you consider offensive line and weapons. So as of right now, without seeing what Odell does or anything else, what Dallas looks like when Zeke is fully healthy and Pollard is still the lead back, because we have to see if that dynamic kind of stays true. I'm going to go the same, actually. Philly, San Francisco, Dallas, Minnesota.
All right, so here's the interesting part. I'm going to stick with this because this is good right here, and I'll do the same thing on the AFC side later, probably. I'm going to drop a couple of things. We all like the 49ers, right? Vegas likes the 49ers. We all think that they're poised to make a run, and yet none of us at the moment are picking them to beat the Eagles in the playoffs. It goes to show you, there's a lot going on here, and even though we may like a team, doesn't mean that we ever even going to pick them to come out of their side of the bracket, so to speak. It is fascinating here to watch that. Same thing on the AFC side, I think, with a couple of teams that we like as dark horses, and yet when you start doing the one-on-ones and you start thinking about, well, what does it really mean when they actually play each other, they're still a pecking order. So, all right, the Chiefs and the Chargers. Ronan, I'm going to start with you. The Chiefs come from behind to beat the Chargers. Patrick Mahomes continues to campaign for MVP without having to say a word. His actions on the field are just doing all the talking for him. At this moment, he's probably going to win it. Talk to us, though, about the game and what these teams have to look forward to in the future.
Yeah, Mahomes reminded everyone why he's the standard nowadays. You just can't leave time on the clock. You know, he's the game-winning guy. It was Brady. Now it seems like it's Mahomes. He just continues to pull it out late in the fourth quarter whenever they need it the most.
If you're in the mood for more football content from Phantom Sports Industries, subscribe to our newest podcast, the Phantom Fantasy Football Podcast, hosted by yours truly, Brandon Tim. Together, we'll take a deep dive into the data of fantasy football to get the weekly dubs and come out on top as our league's champion. We'll see you at the next episode, coming soon. Once again, this is the Phantom Fantasy Football Podcast from Phantom Sports Industries. See you there.
Okay, but on the Chargers side, Simon, help me out here. They keep getting into these situations late where they have to get it done and they just can't. Why is that, and at what point are they going to get to that next level?
So I don't think it's going to happen for the Chargers this season. They're just too banged up. We could see what it was supposed to be in those six snaps with those guys all together. And, you know, I think Mike Williams essentially just re-aggravated that same ankle sprain. We said when that injury happened, hey, high ankle sprain, 4 to 6 weeks is like the minimum. He came back in two, and this is what happens. Keenan Allen, he's been nursing his hamstring injury all season. He's still not playing the full complement of snaps. So at some point, it's just not the year. You're too banged up. All you got to do this year is see what other pieces you have, see what you have in Josh Palmer, keep Herbert healthy, and, you know, just kind of try to roll it in next season. And while you're at it, get a different offensive coordinator in the building for next year. So when you have everybody healthy, you're running a little more creative of an offense.
Simon, I'm going to keep it with you for just a second here. Again, another question I didn't prep you for, but it's just laying right there on the table for us to pick up. Everybody in the NFL has had injuries this year, except for just a handful of teams, and we're starting to see them. The Eagles, for instance, we saw them without Jordan Davis and without Dallas Goedert the past couple of weeks, and we're seeing a difference there. They look more sluggish. They're struggling all of a sudden. They don't have their momentum. Does it bother you at all that the Chiefs have been almost pristine this year with injuries until the last week or so? We started to see a couple of receivers go down. Does that bother you at all, knowing that, hey, one injury to Kelsey or one injury to Chris Jones, or, you know, I almost don't even want to say it, one injury to beloved Patrick, how, you know, it's affecting everybody else, literally everybody, you know, certainly the Chiefs, if they get an injury or two, you know, we're going to see the same thing with them, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you go through the, you know, history of the NFL, history of any sports league, the teams that win the championships, the Super Bowls, the World Series, whatever, generally are just the healthiest teams. And you know, you might get three or four teams in the year that stay completely healthy or close to. And then it's about talent and execution and coaching and, you know, grit and all that good stuff. But yeah, man, at the end of the day, health is important. You know, ask the, you know, Golden State Warriors in 2019, and you're going against the Raptors, and you, that's one of the deepest teams of all time. And even losing Kevin Durant for a majority of that postseason, they still almost won. If Klay Thompson doesn't also tear his ACL in that finals game, they probably have another championship ring themselves. So it really is just kind of the way that everything goes. And yeah, obviously, you know, if one of your big guys goes down, you're probably not coming out of that. Now, the Chiefs will tell you, Chad Henne, wasn't that a playoff game last year or 2 years ago? Like, he's still around. He'll make it happen, man. Chad Henne, Madden legend, 2006 Miami Dolphins. But the best teams figure it out on a short-term, week-to-week basis, game-to-game basis, day-to-day. But, yeah, if you're missing any here, real key players for long periods of time, like this Chargers team is, it's going to affect you. And, you know, you're just going to have to kind of roll with that.
I would be very nervous if I were a Chiefs fan, because I know that literally every other team out there has battled something and have struggled because of it. I mean, you know, his fingers crossed that you're going to get all the way through to the playoffs without somebody going down. So we'll see. Titans and Packers actually had a pretty decent Thursday night football game. You know, it wasn't the most beloved game of the world, but pretty decent game. Titans win it 27-17. The Packers had shown some life in the week before, but like this NFL season goes, they come back the next week. And, you know, outside of a couple of drives, there really wasn't a whole lot here to look at for the Packers. So, Simon, start with you here. What are you seeing on that Thursday night football game?
Yeah, well, I'm going to sneak my first award in here, and it's my weekly Welcome to the NFL award, and it's going to Titans receiver Treylon Burks. Obviously dealt with a lot of injuries, a lot of just kind of health-related things from the offseason. So his career has gone off on a slow start, but this was the guy they got with the A.J. Brown pick, and he was supposed to be A.J. Brown for this team, and we – I'll just say it. I came on this podcast or other ones with you guys and said, yeah, they'll be fine trading AJ Brown because they got the next AJ Brown on a cheaper contract, and AJ Brown's doing what he's doing, and Burks wasn't doing that yet. But 7 receptions, 111 yards, he looked really good. I enjoyed every time the Titans were on offense, and I did not have as much fun when the Packers were on offense because this Titans defense is so good, but it was almost so unfair that it wasn't even fun to watch. It wasn't like watching like great duel. It was just watching them beat the snot out of the Packers. And then on the other end, the Titans offense was incredible. It was the best offensive performance of the season for them. Tannehill threw for 300 yards for the first time this season. But that also kind of just comes down to the Packers defense is one of the worst in the NFL. You know, Rashawn Gary is out. The defensive backs have never really put it together for the Packers this season, and Tannehill and the receivers were just able to get whatever they wanted in this one. So, it was fun to see what like peak offensive Titans look like, both, you know, passing and running, even Derrick Henry throwing some touchdowns, but, also kind of just felt like more of the Packers winning against the Cowboys last week was a little more smoke and mirrors, and the team that lost to the Detroit Lions and only scored 9 points. And then they're on Thursday night football, really had pretty meager offensive performance. It is more like the team we're going to see the rest of the way.
It is wild. It's one of the reasons predicting this stuff is so just ridiculously stupid. We watched the Packers beat the Cowboys and then just get racked at home by the Titans. We watched the Cowboys disappoint against Green Bay, who can't get out of their own way against anybody, and then just roll the Vikings, who had beaten the Bills the week before. So, I mean, go figure. This stuff is crazy. Ronan, we're hearing a lot right now about matchups between teams who are going in opposite directions. Some of that's not true. This one is. The Titans are clearly getting better almost every week, and the Packers, I just mentioned that, can't seem to buy a victory other than the Dallas win.
Yeah, 100%. And last week, it seemed like maybe that trend would stop. Maybe the Packers are back on the up and up, but that wasn't the case. You know, the Titans, it doesn't feel like it was too long ago whenever we were all sitting here wondering, all right, them and the Colts, who's it going to be? Who's going to bounce back? And I feel like all of us kind of sided with the Titans on that one just because, well, the coaching. I mean, whenever it boils down to it, Frank Reich got fired and Mike Vrabel is coming off of Coach of the Year. And I mean, look at his team right now. You know, what surprised me in that game is Derrick Henry. He ran the ball 28 times, still only put up 87 yards. So if you're a Packers fan, that is a kind of a positive. You know, that's not the yards per carry that you're typically seeing with Derrick Henry. But for the Packers, and Simon, you referenced how sloppy and just lackluster they look. A lot of that comes from whenever they fall behind in the first half, going into the second half, and they have to basically abandon the run. That Packers offense is very much based on the run between A.J. Dillon and Aaron Jones. And whenever you can't feed those guys the ball and you're forcing Aaron Rodgers to throw to guys who he doesn't have a whole lot of chemistry with, that's a recipe for disaster.
Yeah, absolutely. And we did see Christian Watson. I think it's 5 touchdowns in 2 weeks. It was mostly the red zone against the Titans, but the week before there was more to it than just the red zone. Aaron Rodgers looks like he's starting to trust Watson. Watson looked like he's starting to be healthy enough to really start to show what he can do. So at least one bright spot there for the Packers. Let's do a burning question here, one of Ben's burning questions. I'm going to save one for later in the podcast. I'm going to do one right now. The best defense in football. We've seen them switch around a little bit this year. There hasn't just been one. The Cowboys are on fire lately. The Patriots are on fire lately. Not exactly playing the same defense. The 49ers have pretty much been the best for most of the year, but they got smoked by the Chiefs a few weeks ago. I'm going to toss the Buccaneers in there because statistically they're still in the mix, even though they had some struggles there about 4 or 5 weeks ago. The Denver Broncos defense without any offense to help them at all. I mean, nothing. It's really hard to play good defense when you get no help from the offense. They're getting nothing there in Denver. But the Denver defense has continued to look good. I'm missing one. The Buffalo Bills defense statistically has held up almost all season. Simon, I'm going to start with you, and then you can kick it to Ronan. But at this moment, which defense do you like the best?
You know, it might be a little recency bias. It might be a little bit flavor of the month, but I really like the Dallas Cowboys defense right now. My big thing for them coming into this season was, can they build on what they were last year, right? And last year was a very forcing turnovers, led attack where, hey, we're going to fly around helter skelter. We're, you know, all or nothing kind of defense, and it worked, but it's not sustainable. So this year, they've changed up what they do. Now Mike Parsons is exclusively coming off the edge, right? They're getting their splash from that. That's working out extremely well, and they're still putting him off ball when they need. And the defensive backs are, you know, just playing good football. It's not just about the interceptions for them this season. That's what worked for last year's defense, and it's not what they need to do this year. So the fact that they've been able to change what they do, and even individual players are able to be moved around and flexible. And by the way, they're allowing, you know, just the least amount of points per game in the NFL. That's a pretty good sign. Let's see where they are. Let me try to sort this quickly. They're leading the league in sacks. And they've just been doing it all year, right? So I think the other team as of today that's really competing with them is the Patriots, but that's kind of coming on here at the end. Dallas has been consistent. They've been winning since week one because of this defense. And I think they have the highest level of talent on an individual basis as well. So give me Dallas for right now.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go with a bit of an oddball here. It's actually going to be a team that, Ben, you didn't even mention. I'm going to be going with the Jets. It's a little bit of a – actually, no. We're at the point. They That's have a pick. Winning record. They're an all-around defense. And what I mean by that is they can get after the quarterback. They have 32 sacks, which is tied for fourth. They allow 5.9 yards per attempt, which is also tied for fifth. They allow a 63.3 completion percentage, which is 10th in the league, while only allowing 9 touchdowns in the air. But they have 11 picks. That's more interceptions than passing touchdowns allowed. And then the Jets can also stop the run as well. They're allowing 4 yards per carry, which is tied for the fifth least amount in the league. I'm not saying that they're the clear-cut answer, but I'm saying that they definitely deserve the attention.
No, that's a great point. And you know, I only ask because it's interesting. Needless to say, I think if you have any of these defenses that we've talked about, maybe not the Tampa Bay defense, but any of these defenses, you feel pretty good about your chance to at least stay in every game, if not, in some cases, shut down some of the teams that you're playing. Let's do some awards. Both of these guys have awards all over the place. They're falling out of their pockets. They got them hanging from the ceilings. We're going to throw out a few and let you guys bounce it back and forth. Simon, I think you have still one more than Ronan does at this point. So, Simon, you first.
Always. I always have one more than Ronan. Whatever you're looking for, I've got one more than Ronan has. Let me do one more Welcome to the League award. And because we were just talking about the Jets, and we found a way to be lucky enough to not talk about that Jets-Patriots game, let's at least shout out Marcus Jones, punt and kick returner and cornerback for the Patriots. Ended the game on a punt return touchdown, his first of his NFL career, first of many, electric return man. One of the most frustrating players to end up on the Patriots. We made fun of that draft class so much for so many reasons. We've since repented and said they did a very good job. But Marcus Jones was the one guy that I was like, crap, that's going to be really annoying for the next 10 years that he's on there. And not just because I think he's going to be a fantastic nickel corner as well. He hasn't quite made the defensive plays or even gotten on the field as much quite yet. But does Bill Belichick, or does anybody like special teams more than Bill Belichick? You know, he's just salivating at the fact that he won on special teams. So the fact that he got Marcus Jones and he's going to be doing this for years was just great. And also just want to say shout out to my wife, because when it was 3-3 and we were watching the end of that game, she was like, she basically asked, do they still get to go to overtime for having such a low score? Like, do they deserve it? Which I thought was hilarious. And like, you know, I kind of laughed. And then I was like, but you know what? That's a good point. They don't deserve to win. So yes, they should just both have a terrible tie on their record. So shout out to Marcus Jones for saving everybody from that horrible ending that we could have had.
No, that's 100% a valid point. So for my award, my first award, we're going to be going with the Final Tour Award. And this will be going to the Raiders. Now, the Raiders, they did beat the Broncos 22-16. Derek Carr had himself a nice little day, 23 for 37, 307 yards, two touchdowns. Josh Jacobs, 24 attempts, 109 yards, no touchdowns on the ground. Davante Adams, 7 receptions, 141 yards, and two touchdowns. Now, guys, they did have a nice day, but it's looking like this might be a very short final tour. Derek Carr might be on his way out. Davante Adams, there are rumors that he might want out at the end of the season. Josh Jacobs seems like he's definitely on his way out. Now, I'm not saying these guys are any slouches, because I think that they will produce, you know, elsewhere. But, man, this Raiders team has been wildly disappointing.
Yeah, you're telling me. I had them locked into the playoffs and thought that they might win a game or two. The fact, and I went on this spiel last week, so I promised to not get on my soapbox again, but the fact that Josh McDaniels just came in and made this team so much worse, and he has got Derek Carr up there crying at post-game press conferences, and it's a whole mess of things that is very upsetting to me. I feel like Ben's trying to hold back on also letting loose on Josh McDaniels. Ben, you want to chime in here on the Raiders?
It's been really ugly, and this isn't the first time he's done this, is it? Unfortunately.
It's not. Moving on, let me go to a person who has made things tougher on the Raiders and Josh McDaniels just a couple weeks ago. Let's head over to the Indianapolis Colts, where my award is the Leo Pointing Meme Award, and it's Frank Reich at home on his couch. I assume that coaches fired midseason watch the games of their teams just because their coaching staffs are still there, their players are still there, right? So I assume they go home and they still watch casually. Maybe they're done by the next season, but I just envision Frank sitting at home, a nice little drink in his hand, some chips on the table, and he sees Matt Ryan get to line up in there at quarterback, and he's just pointing at the TV with his hands up saying, this is what I wanted. This is what I was doing. What is happening here? How did I get to this moment? Matt Ryan, the last 2 weeks, he went 21 of 28 against the Raiders, had the touchdown. They won the game 25-20. He goes 23 of 32 in the 16-17 riveting loss this past week to the Eagles. I mean, Frank Reich has to just be fuming that his last-ditch effort at saving his job was Sam Ehlinger, and Jeff Saturday gets to just walk in. And Saturday goes in that press conference and says, Ehlinger's totally our quarterback. Yeah, for sure. And then he watches one practice, and he's like, what are we talking about? Why did you guys say Sam Ehlinger should be the quarterback? I'm putting Matt freaking Ryan back in. Frank is just fuming, and he's just sitting there, chips in his mouth, drink in his hand, wondering, why the heck did I have to put in Sam Ehlinger?
So next up, this award is going to be going to Jamal Williams, who got a hat trick on Sunday. This is the Kneecap Warrior Award in tribute to his head coach, Dan Campbell, because the Lions have won 3 games in a row. And all of a sudden, Dan Campbell's job security is looking a little bit better. Detroit fans seem to be like split on Dan Campbell, you know, like half love him and half are like, all right, maybe we need a real head coach with a scheme in mind. I personally love him. I think he's the perfect face of Detroit, just biting kneecaps off and grinding out games. But Jamal Williams, 3 touchdowns, 17 carries for 64 yards. Now, you know, 17 carries for 64 yards isn't sexy, but 3 touchdowns is.
I love this pick. I'm also going to have a Lions award, but let's just talk Lions coaching staff and coordinators, whatnot right now. Dan Campbell, for all the like grit and intensity and everything that people kind of laugh at and joke about, he's an offensive person, right? If you were just to pull somebody random off the street that doesn't know who Dan Campbell is, and you have them watch one press conference or even just look at him, and you'd say, hey, he's a former player. What position do you think he played? They'd say linebacker. They'd say defensive lineman, right? No, he's a tight end, man. He was an offensive player. He went and he was an assistant offensive line coach for a little bit. And then he was basically Sean Payton's assistant, right? One of the greatest offensive coaching minds we've had. And he's learning from him. So he's an offensive guy. He took over the play calling duties last year in Detroit when he, you know, didn't want Anthony Lynn doing that anymore. I don't know. I don't think he's calling the plays now, but I don't really know. But this is an offensive mind. So when this team has been healthy, Monroe St. Brown, DeAndre Swift, your guy Jamal Williams, they're putting up 30 points a game. So it's the defensive side that does need some work. But my award is tapping into that defense, and it's the head tapping meme award. I pulled up the whole history of this meme, by the way, but I'm not going to get into it now. Maybe I'll do that at a later date. But whenever I watch this team, I've been wondering, why the heck do they drop Aiden Hutchinson in coverage so much, right? This is the second overall pick, defensive end. Let that guy rush. Let him get to the quarterback. You have one of the worst defenses in the league. Rush your first round draft pick. And man, 2 picks over the last 3 weeks, and it's because that man is 6'7". It's like a 7'3" wingspan. And if he can crouch down low enough and the quarterback doesn't see him, he can snag any pass that you kind of throw in his direction. So I see what you're doing over there, Detroit. I see it now. I see the vision. Keep it rolling.
All right. So for my final award, it is the Going, Going, Gone Award. And you can probably guess who it's going to. It's going to Cordarrelle Patterson, who broke the kickoff touchdown return record this weekend, getting his 9th on Sunday against the Bears. Falcons won 27-24. Patterson ran 103 yards. If he wouldn't have done that, that game's looking a whole lot different. Bears had a whole lot of momentum, especially there in that second half. So going, going, gone, Cordarrelle Patterson, forever in the history books.
My final award is the Rocky Balboa Throw in the Towel Award. And it's Cowboys Vikings, that 40-3 just annihilation we mentioned briefly. How mad do you think the league is, and how mad do you think CBS is that this game was the one game on in that time slot? We move Steelers Bengals, and now I'm going to get on my own soapbox. This is really why I want to do this. We move Steelers Bengals from prime time to put in this 4 o'clock slot. And then it not only be moved into 4 o'clock, but not even be the nationally televised game. And then you have to go, CBS steals Dallas from Fox somehow for a week. And you have to change the channel. You have to change the game halfway through the third quarter. Meanwhile, I'm sitting at home avoiding social media, not looking at the ticker because I'm going to watch the Steeler game later. And come on, man. Just like, what are we doing here? So I'm glad there was a shellacking because they deserve it for messing up my Sunday. That's really what I want to complain about. That's really what this is.
All right. All you players and coaches and any fans that want to get some attention, just do something noteworthy next week. You'll get an award from Simon or Ronan. I'm sure they'll have plenty more to pick out. I want to hit one quick question because I said I was going to. The AFC side of things. You know, we all have teams we like. We keep saying, you know, watch out for this team, watch out for that team. Well, there's got to be a ranking and a pecking order, so let's trot it out. Let's do your four best teams in order on the AFC side. Simon, I'll hit you first.
Is Kansas City 1-4 an option?
That's fair. Honestly, that's fair. It's the only way to be comfortable with the order.
Just going to throw that out there. At the end of the day, Kansas City won. I think Buffalo is going to sort itself out too. I think after this week, There, I have a slight change here. Where three, I'm going to go with Miami. I think the fact that Baltimore could only put up 13 points against Carolina is troublesome. Give me the team that I know can hang 30 on anybody, and that's Miami. And then I've got to choose between Baltimore and Tennessee. I hate to slight Tennessee, especially when Baltimore's offense doesn't look that good either. But, you know, it's a story of good coaching, good defense. And then which quarterback do you trust to get done more in a limited offense? And the difference is Tennessee's offense is limited because of Tannehill and also their receivers like Baltimore. But Baltimore has Lamar Jackson. And you know, maybe it's more a conversation of Lamar Jackson versus Derrick Henry. In which case, give me the guy who gets the ball directly put into his hands immediately every single play. So I'll go Baltimore 4.
Yeah,
fair
I'm
enough.
Right there with
Ronan,
you. I'm right there with you. Chiefs, Bills. Yeah, Chiefs, Bills, Dolphins, Ravens. I'm right there with you. It's the Titans. I was a little bit hesitant to put the Ravens at 4 as you were, but I think you got me sold. Quarterback play goes a long way.
Very close, though. It's very close. And the Ravens – They have a lot of get-right games coming. Jaguars, Broncos, Steelers, Browns, Falcons, Steelers, Bengals. Those are the rest of their games the rest of the way. The Titans, on the other hand, have Bengals, Eagles, Jaguars, Chargers, Texans, Cowboys, Jaguars. A little bit tougher. Could go either way. I will say in a head-to-head matchup, I think the Titans could probably limit that Ravens offense enough. But in terms of power ranking 1-4, Lamar Jackson gets that 4 spot.
All right, fair enough. Final question. How are we spending Thanksgiving Day? I know you may not necessarily be seeing family on Thanksgiving Day. You may have other plans, but how are you spending Thanksgiving Day? Ronan, you first.
Food, family, and football, man. It's going to be a whole lot of all three.
All right, Simon.
Yeah, man. You can't put it any better than that. We are doing a delayed Thanksgiving here, so on Thursday, there will be food, and we will have a 6-month-old baby trying some solid food for the first time. So wish me luck with some smushed carrots. We're gonna have a mess on our hands, guys. So we'll try to get that out of the way before the game start.
There it is. Everyone, thank you so much for listening. We hope you have a tremendous Thanksgiving. I'll kick it over to Simon to close us out.
Absolutely. Yeah. And thank you to you guys, my co-hosts. Hope you guys have a great Thanksgiving as well. But everybody, thank you so much for listening. You can follow the show on Apple and Spotify. We have episodes every Tuesday breaking down the latest news, injuries, and game analysis every single week. You can follow the podcast on Twitter at Phantom Football and email the show at phantomfootballpod@gmail.com. We'll see you next week.
The Phantom Football Podcast is brought to you by Prediction Strike. Does the idea of the stock market interest you, but you aren't really sure what you're doing? Check out Prediction Strike. Prediction Strike is an app where you can invest in athletes like stocks. Buy and sell your stock in an athlete as their value rises and falls. Build your own portfolio of players and sell players before you think they're going to plummet. Download the app and use the code Phantom at sign up. That's FANTOM. Thank you for listening and enjoy the podcast.